Well, we're entering into a new year, of course, and so I think it would be good to focus our thoughts on the new year and lying ahead. So I wonder if you'd please just turn to one verse in Psalm 23 to begin with, Psalm 23, and then we go back to the book of Exodus. So first of all, one verse, familiar verse, in Psalm 23 and verse 6. Psalm 23, verse 6. I'll read it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the first part of this verse is very much about now, and the second part of the verse is about our wonderful future with the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that's our security for a Christian. That's our certain hope as well. Now, many of us have been believers for some years, and the Lord has brought us through to this day. But it's very easy to rest on past security, how the Lord has guided me in the past days and years. But we're living in a new day today, and tomorrow's a new day tomorrow. So we do not rest on past securities, rather rely upon the Lord today and each day. Well, we know the Lord does bring changes into our lives from time to time, but at the same time, whether we know the way and the reason for his guiding us in certain ways, or the way he might speak to us, we don't live in the past. We live today and full hope for tomorrow. So the Lord wants us to keep trusting him at all times. Now, for some Christians, at the beginning of this year, he might lead us into new pastures. We don't know. But in that time when he leads us by new pastures, like Psalm 23, we turn to that now, of course, and when the Lord, or if the Lord brings changes into our lives, he will look after us. And like a shepherd, he guides us into possible new pastures, but he will always provide for us. He's our shepherd, and we are his sheep. And the Lord never changes. He never wavers in all his loving purposes and promises for our lives. When we follow him obediently, of course, that's our part. But he leads us always in the paths of his righteousness. His righteousness. And it says, for his name's sake. Psalm 23 is important in these issues. And the Lord is indeed our shepherd. Verse 1. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and so on. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, paths of his righteousness. And that's certainly true. So, like this psalm, you prepare a table before me in verse 5, Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, if we have any. He prepares for us all our needs, both physical and spiritual needs, like preparing a table for a meal. Certainly true. But he's a shepherd and we're his sheep, and he never changes. He's always the same. He leads us into his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Very important for his purposes to be fulfilled. So he sets us a table for our provision, both physical and spiritual, of course. And one day we shall eventually dwell in his presence forever. So that's very important that we think about that. Now, of course, we live in beginning these first few days of January of this year. We live in expectation of the Lord's coming, it's true, but we live our lives through, well, we may go through the end of this year, or we just don't know. Maybe so. But the Lord will always be with us. He will always provide for us like a good shepherd. Now, if you kindly would you go back to the book of Exodus? Exodus chapter, first of all, chapter 14, and then a verse in chapter 15. If we can do that, please, if you would. Thank you. Exodus chapter 14, if you have a look at verse 15. Exodus 14 and verse 15. I'll read it. Exodus 14, verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? And this is the help. Tell my children to go forward. Tell my children to go forward." In other words, the Lord expects us to walk with him and to move on in trust for the days or weeks, months that lie ahead. Tell my people to go forward. Trust him. Wait upon him. Let him guide us. He wants to lead us forward. Now go to the next chapter 15, please. Chapter 15, and we look at verse 13. Exodus 15 and verse 13. "You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation." That's where we're going, our future. In his mercy and his grace, he's led us forward. The people whom he has redeemed, "you have guided them in your strength." Well, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful security, isn't it? In chapter 33, we'll stay with Exodus just for the moment, but in chapter 33 of Exodus, if you go forward there, please, chapter 33 of Exodus, and look at verse 14, the second part of verse 14 of Exodus 33. And the Lord says, Exodus 33, verse 14, he says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Now, that word rest there, in a sense, means security. We don't fret about our days. We trust the Lord. That's important. "My presence will go with you." He never leaves us. As we move forward day by day, he's with us each day of our lives. And he says, "I'll give you rest. I'll give you assurance. All is well. Put your confidence in me. Don't fret. Don't be anxious." I know we are. We're human enough. We can be anxious. But his presence will go with us. In the same way, he led the Hebrews in the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And he was with them the whole time to lead them through the wilderness. It took many decades, of course. We know that. Also, the star, which we call the Star of Bethlehem, led the Magi to go to Bethlehem and then to Jesus. And he will always guide his people to himself. And the scriptures clearly tell us that he guides us with his watchful eye upon us, always watching over his people to help them, to encourage them. We don't see him yet. One day we will. But he's guiding by promise. And by faith, we believe that promise because he can't lie. That's very true. "And my presence shall go with you day by day," beginning of the year, so it is. So he's the Lord, not only of the past when we trusted him as our Savior, not only for today, but we trust him for the future, which is still unknown to us, for the future time until we are with him, of course. Now, he knows the way ahead for all of us. He knows he's guiding our lives. He's shaping our future times here. And everything is in his hands. And he's got plans for our daily lives. So we trust him. Our confidence is in him. It's an unknown year ahead of us. That's quite true. But he knows the way. He is our life. He's called the finisher of our faith. And he began it as well. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. He is the finisher of our faith as well as the author of our faith. He gives us a gift of faith. That's very encouraging. So he is the Lord of our future as well. We enter into an unknown year. It's quite true. And there was a particular incident where a lady who was called Mrs. Haskins, who said, "If you put your hand into the hand of the unknown and into the hand of the Lord, he will guide you through your unknown. Put your hand into the hand of God. That is better than any known way. It's unknown, but he's promised to guide us. He knows the way ahead. He's our pioneer. He's gone out in front of us to lead the way through. So he says to us in Hebrews 12, run the race with patience. Run the race with endurance. Sometimes it's a bit of a marathon, isn't it, really, in our life. That's encouraging. Now, I'd like, if you will, you go forward into the New Testament now to the letter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. If you go there, please. Hebrews chapter 12. And have a look at the first two verses. Now, in one sense, this is a message on assurance and confidence in him and his promises. Bear that in mind. It's a message on assurance. And back in Psalm 23, it said, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the Lord leads ahead. His goodness, his mercy, they follow us through daily living. And that's very true for us. And the Lord says, tell my people to go forward. Move on, he says. Well, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Look in Hebrews 12. Look in verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's all the heroes of faith in chapter 11. That's a great cloud of witnesses. They persevered by faith through hard times, through difficult times, but they are with the Lord. So the Lord says to us, that's our witness, a great cloud of witnesses. They've been there, they've gone through, they're with the Lord now. So he says, let us lay aside every weight, the worries, the cares, the anxieties. I know it's very difficult to lay them aside. We so easily pick them up again. But encourage us to lay these things aside in our trust in the Lord. And the sin which easily ensnares us or gets hold of us, our doubts. And so let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Well, we enter a new year, and in a sense of way ahead seems to be a long time. Of course it is, beginning of January. And we're called in verse 2 to look unto Jesus, the author or the pioneer of our and finisher of our faith. He began it, he will complete it. Who for the joy that set before him endured the cross. What joy? The joy of redeeming us and us belonging to him. Later to be a bride. He's looking forward to that day. Joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And now, where is he? He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, that's the Father. So that's encouraging, isn't it? So the Lord has promised, my presence shall go with you, Exodus 33, verse 14, and I will give you rest in your spirit. That's true. So he's led us on, and we move on ahead. We run the race, fight the good fight, run the race with endurance. And sometimes it needs endurance to persevere, is another word, persevere, press on in your walk. And it says, run the race, walk the walk. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we read here that he took responsibility for our sin at the cross. So here's a word which we don't often use in our English language. The word is surety. S-U-R-E-T-Y, a surety. It's a bit of a legal term, I suppose, in a way. But he's our surety of our faith and salvation. He's the one who guarantees it. He's the one who says yes and amen to all his promises. And he's the one, he ran a race in the short life he was here, which led to the cross, and then, of course, his glorious resurrection. But he's our surety of our faith and salvation. He's the surety. He's the guarantee. His promises are there. By faith, we believe them. We know them to be true because he cannot lie and he cannot break his word to us. Another word which we can use here, like the word surety, a bit easier, is advocate. Now that sounds like a legal term, doesn't it? Advocate, but it is. It's someone who represents another from a legal point of view. And they're very often their top lawyers too. But we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. Now, would you move on from Hebrews into the first letter of the Apostle John? First John, please. First John. First John, chapter 2, and the first two verses. First John, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. First John, chapter 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so you may not sin. If anyone sins, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation, or if you like, a covering. He's covered our sin by the sacrifice of himself, that we may be forgiven. He's a propitiation, he's a covering. He's covered it all to be remembered no more. Of our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world, but only for the true believer. He's dealt with sin of all time, but particularly, of course, we know it applies to the believer. But we have an advocate with the Father. We have one who's our, if you like, a great legal representative pleading on our behalf with the Father. And of course, it's sure. Of course it is. So the word also can be a surety. A surety. It means also like an exchange. He took our sin, he gave us his life. He took our unrighteousness, gave us his righteousness. A wonderful exchange. He made the pledge with the Father to do this for us. Now, a pledge is a promise. I will do this, I promise, for these people. And that's his pledge. And he's done it, of course. And he keeps us as well. So he took the obligation to do that before the Father. He came for that reason. And Jesus took the place of a sinner under the wrath of his heavenly Father. That's a wonderful thing. Now, the word surety there comes way back through other parts of the Bible as well. I'd like, if you will, to leave that, the end of the Bible, and go back to the beginning. If you go back, please, to Genesis. Would you go back to Genesis, chapter 43, please? Chapter 43. We're about to get there. Chapter 43. And first of all, verse 9. Chapter 43 and verse 9. And this is where Judah is speaking to Jacob, or Israel, his father, in verse 8, and about taking the younger brother with him, Benjamin. And Judah makes his father a promise in verse 9 of chapter 43 of Genesis. 43, verse 9. I myself will be the surety for him. I'll stand for him. I'll be responsible for him. Leave him with me. Trust me. I will be a surety for him. From my hand, you shall require him. If I do not bring him back for you, let him send me for me and let me bear the blame. So he says, I'll be a surety. I'll be the guarantee to protect Benjamin, the youngest son, and bring him back. Leave him with me. I give him my pledge. Trust me, I'll keep my word, and I'll bring Benjamin back. So that's encouraging. But go to the next chapter, 44, would you please? Go to chapter 44 and look in verse 32. Chapter 44 and verse 32. This is again Judah is concerned with Benjamin. And this is what he says. He's talking to Jacob, his father. For your servant became surety for the boy, Benjamin, to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back, then you should bear the blame before my father. I should bear the blame before my father forever. You know, he made a pledge, I'll bring Benjamin back. Here it is again. I will become a surety. I'll be the guarantee. I'll be the one to shelter him. I'll be the one to bring him back to you. That's that word, surety. Certainly true. Now, Will you go to Job? Oh, yes. Go on to Job, chapter 17. Job 17. Unusual place to find what I want, but it's there. Chapter 17 of Job. Now, whatever version of the Bible you have, I don't know. If you have the AV, the Authorized Bible, I use the New King James, and we use both of them. Job 17 and verse 3. You'd just like to check that one through. And you got here, as I have it, in the New King James, I've got the word pledge. If you have the Authorized, you will have the word surety. Same thing. A surety is a promise and a pledge, which you intend to fulfill. Let's read Job 17 and verse 3. Now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake hands with me? Or in other words, make an agreement with me. Now I've got the New King James. Put down a pledge for me. Or, as in the AV, who's going to be a surety for me? Who's going to be one to stand for me? Well, of course, the Lord Jesus is both. He stands for us. He's acted for us. He's redeemed us. He's our surety. He's our guarantor for all that he's promised concerning our salvation and looking after us day by day. So that's important. And we've got that word there, both in Genesis twice and here in Job as well. And I wonder if you go to a psalm now, longest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, please. Long psalm, as we know, many verses. But in that psalm, go to verse 122, Psalm 119, verse 122. Let's look at it. Whoever the author is, we don't know if it's David or not, possibly is. And verse 122 says, be surety or pledge or guarantor, be surety for your servant for good. Don't let the proud oppress me. Be surety, be guarantor, be a pledge for me. That's what he means. And he's got that there. Be a surety. Now, four times in the book of Proverbs, I won't go into it now, but I'll read one verse, Proverbs 6 and verse 1. I'll read it. My son, if you become surety or guarantor or pledge for your friend, if you've shaken hands, which is agreement, in pledge, that will be good. Then you can take the words of my mouth. Proverbs 6 verse 1. Maybe he becomes a surety for someone else. The Lord Jesus Christ becomes a surety for us. He guarantees us salvation when we trust him. He looks after us. We trust him. So that's important. Now, that word surety, a bit of a legal term we don't often use, do we? But it means that there's someone who becomes responsible for us. The Lord Jesus Christ has become responsible for us. He took our sin in his own body on the tree. He guarantees forgiveness. He guarantees salvation. Eternal life forever with him. It's a guarantee. It's a pledge. He can't break his word. The Lord Jesus can't. So in a sense, if you like, we might use human terms, he's shaking hands with us on it. I think that makes it rather a warm phrase to use. Yes, he says, I agree. I give it my pledge. I'll give you my guarantee. He's our guarantor. And that settles it. And we can rest in that promise of his. Yes. So in other words, a surety person, unusual term, is one who takes responsibility for someone else. In this case, he paid the debt for our sins before the Father. Now, would you go on to Hebrews 7? Let's go back there. Hebrews 7. And verse 22. Let's flip back a page or two. Hebrews 7 and verse 22. This is what it says. I'm using the New King James. by so much more. Are you talking about Melchizedek, the great priest of the Lord back in Genesis? By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant, the new covenant in his blood. A better covenant, a surety, a guarantor, one of the guarantees, a new covenant for those who believe in him. It's a promise, unbreakable. It's a surety. Well, okay, a bit of a legal term. A surety for a better covenant. So that's important. We know Christ was crucified and has given us his peace to the believing sinner, Jew or Gentile. And following on Christ, his crucifixion, resurrection, and now he's in the glory. He's glorified, raised from the dead, and returned to his Father's throne. Wonderful. And we're going there too, aren't we? So Christ is the eternal one who manifested a surety, a security, a guarantee that he will keep his word to us. And of course, being the Lord, he can never break it. He's a surety. He's a manifest security for each believer. We know that the death of the cross was in obedience to the Father's will. We know that for our salvation, Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. And he's called the living stone. Or you call it the rock of ages, if you like. You can't move the rock of ages. He's immovable. He's there for us all the time. And the New Testament calls him the living stone. And you and I are called living stones in 1 Peter. Living stones in 1 Peter. So he's the one who is a living stone, the rock of ages, under whose shadow, says the Old Testament, we may rest. We rest in his love. We rest in his promises. We rest in his forgiveness. We rest in his new life. We rest in eternal life because he's a surety. He's a guarantor for all the promised word. That's such an encouragement. And this is what we think about at the beginning of a new year. And Psalm 23, verse 6 says again, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life and lead me from the front as well. His goodness is behind us. He's in front of us. He's all around us. So that's certainly very true. This is encouragement. He's the living stone. Yes, I know for the moment he's a rock of offense to the Jewish people. I know that. But he's a living stone for the believer. And you and I are called living stones built up into a holy temple for the Lord in 1 Peter. We know that too. And under his shadow, we may rest in his faithfulness, all his promises, all his pledges, and his advocacy for us. That's very encouraging, I think. So, as the hymn says, there is a quiet rest for the believer. We can't earn salvation. You can't work for it. You receive it free. That's called grace. Oh, isn't that wonderful? If we had to earn our salvation, we never know how much we had to do to earn it. So that's impossible. It's free grace in the kindness and the love of the Lord Jesus. So in other words, as I come to an end now, God has turned darkness, a sense of sin against human beings, he's turned that now to a glorious future. He's turned the light on himself. He turned the light on his truth. His truth is called the light, and Jesus is the light of the world. He's our light. And he has a future glory for each one of us, knowing his forgiveness, knowing his salvation, knowing his eternal life, and receiving his righteousness. What a wonderful truth. We follow the way ahead because he's with us through this coming year. He's behind us for the past years faithfully, and he will lead us confidently into the future time, whatever lies ahead of us. And one day we shall all be with him He might lead us into new pastures. We don't know how he will lead us into the future times. But whatever it is, he is the shepherd of his flock. We're his sheep, one by one, every one of us. He never wavers in all his loving promises for our lives when we follow him obediently. He ever leads us in the path of his righteousness, not our own, for his name's sake. So he sets the table before us, Psalm 23, of his provisions, both physical and spiritual, for every day. We are his redeemed people if we trust him as a personal savior. And the Lord says to each one of us, like in the book of Exodus, tell my people to go forward, forward in confidence in him, whose promises are yes and amen. And like that, Mrs. Haskins said, to put your hand into the hand of God is better than any known way. Because we can't know the way ahead, but he does. So we put a hand up. We don't hold his hand. If we did that, we'd let go. But he holds our hand, and he'll never let go. And that's our assurance as well. He's our surety. He's our guarantor. He's the one who made a promise. He's the one who makes pledges for us. And he will never break his word. So as we go through the way ahead of our next year, let's follow him. Let's walk with him. And Jesus said, follow me. And you know who he's leading us to, into his presence. Wonderful that is, isn't it? So that's his promise to us. He's our pledge. He's our guarantor. He's the one who keeps his word. And that's our confidence. And we rest in that truth. Amen. I trust that's a blessing to you this evening.